beautiful worship. I trust that our Lord enjoy it, and may all glories go to our God this morning. I start preaching a series of messages in the Chinese congregation. 5 messages, 25 God promises, and in a time of economic tsunamis. So how we can be strengthened, be encouraged, you know, get the guidance from God, you know, to face what we are facing now. Pray for our government, pray for the world leaders, because they are all working very hard to restore the economic situation globally. So this morning, I would like to, you know, share with you from a paragraph, from a passage from the Bible, and then we have 5 brothers and sisters. They are going to read us 5 promises that God has for us from the Bible. So let's turn to Luke chapter 21. Turn to Luke chapter 21. You know, at the beginning of chapter 21, verse 1 to 4, this is 4 verses talking about the widow's offering, an offering offered by a widow. It's a very encouraging passage, very powerful passage. So let's, read through these 4 verses together. If you have Bible, read your Bible. Otherwise, you can look at the screen in front. Let's read together. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in 2 very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. I consider this few verses one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. Why do I say that? Just imagine, 2 Sundays ago, we have a young girl, 10 years old, first time came to our church, and she was so anxious about where is the offerings box. She have $1 in her hand and running around chasing her father and say, where can I put the money? I want to give to God. And the father turned to me and say, Pastor, can you help? So I got this girl, 10 year old, first time in our church, to the offering box. What I'm saying, someone concerned about God, love about God, and try to give something to God and express something. I don't know her well, but I can see, probably the family gave her a good example. All she learned from the church that giving back to God is a kind of worship, and she wants to do that to share her love to God. Consider another case. When I was in Africa, our church offerings at the beginning, it was like 35 cents per week, US dollar. And then after a while, people stopped offering. Why? Because as missionary, we put more than 35 cents. And they feel like, okay, 35 cents mean very little. So even we don't offer, the offering from the missionary is enough to cover our church expenses, so they stop offering. You consider how people feel about, are we worthy before the Lord? What do we mean by offering like 10 cents or $1 or $100? People get lost. The Bible says where your money is, there your heart will be also. You see, as Christians, when we talk about following God, we need to figure out something that we are doing and God is looking at us, and God is, you know, God said that this is something is good. What have we done in this life, Christian life, following the Lord, that cause, as he look, that cause him look at us, what we are doing, and as he saw what we are doing, and it's worth for him to make it public, and say that, look, I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow, what have we done that, you know, caught the attention of our Lord, and that he want to make it known to the public, and then he want to make it an example to the public of what we have done. So brother and sister, this is a very powerful message, because what do we mean by rich or poor when we consider our life in this earth? I have trouble with our friends or even family members back home in Malaysia. Quite often, they will say, look, your cousin, look so and so, they are so well off. That means they have a lot of money. That means they have good house or houses or cars or whatever. And at the same time, they know that the money is not coming from the proper way. You understand? Come from corruption, come from different way that is not lawful. You know, Christian talk like that, they bother me a lot. They're not really sure what do we mean by rich, what do we mean by poor. And Jesus here make it very clear. Make it very clear. Last Sunday, I preached in a Chinese church. I used 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. The verse saying that Jesus become poor in order that we can become rich. That is the mentality God is looking for during the time of economic tsunamis. Because when we are all thinking about ourselves, we want to earn more money for ourselves, we want to enjoy, we want to, you know, look good, and we forgot about the world. That's where the problem starts. That's where the greed came in. That's why a lot of the big company collapse. Brothers and sisters, in the Bible, our God already showed us a way to be rich, to be fair, so that the poor will be careful, so that we will be a real rich person. Consider another story. I heard this story when I was young in church. Two men went to heaven. One was very upset because he found out he has a, you know, mud house in heaven for him. He said, God, this must be a mistake. I was a rich person, you know, an influential person when I was on the earth. I was rich, and I also gave a lot of money to the church. Why I was given a mud house in heaven? And he was so upset and angry because he knew his neighbor. The neighbor was poor, and the neighbor went to church, not the same church as him, but, you know, both they are Christians. But the neighbor got a mansion, like a city in heaven. And the neighbor become a king, become a real, you know, someone there. He was so upset. And God just mentioned to him saying that the treasures on the earth will be gone. The only treasure we count in heaven is how much you invest in heaven, in the eternal value. So consider this. When I read this paragraph, the Bible says that He also saw a poor widow. It's very interesting. Because is she a poor widow? Yes, she is very poor in terms of how much she have materially. Because she can only manage to give 2 copper coins for the offering. How many of us give penny, 1 penny, 2 penny for the offering? If you are giving 2 pennies of the offering, you yourself will be embarrassed saying, oh, I hope no one see. You know, you drop into the offering box. Hopefully no one see. That's poor. Materially, this is very poor. But in God's eye, what is poor and what is rich? I can see Jesus saying that the real rich person is the person never realized that he is poor in the Lord. He is always trying to give, to help, to offer something, to make other people feel better, have better life. That is rich. Someone always thinking about, I can give something to help. Doesn't matter how much. Maybe 1 penny, $1, doesn't matter how much. The mentality means a rich person in the Lord is someone thinking about, I will give my best to the Lord. I will give my best to the Lord. Thinking about how I can worship God through my giving, worship God through what I have. That is the most wealthy person in the world. When we were in Africa, we were so, you know, we were so guilty because you have, you know, meat on a table. And sometimes I really got like stuck when I eat beef or chicken or something, and I think about our friends, they don't have meat for a long, long time. They have the simple food for months and months. I was so you know, upset because I cannot help them. I cannot help them. The only thing I can help is I try not to eat so much meat. But that doesn't help them at all. What I'm saying is, I read the UN, United Nations report about the poorness, the poverty in Africa. They say that the poverty actually means they feel like hopeless. They can't do anything. They can't do anything about it. You know, someone becomes so poor, he or she will think about, someone help me, someone have pity on me, someone have mercy on me, someone give me some food. So you will find a lot of beggars on the street, just asking for money all the time. That is real poorness. That is real poverty, because they are not only poor in material, they are poor inside, and they feel like I'm hopeless. So look at this widow. We can consider her a very poor person because Jesus said she gave the gift is out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. That means the 2 copper coins is the only thing that she has. Is she poor? Yes, definitely, she is poor. But she never considered her poor because she know the secret. She know the secret. She know her master is a rich person. She know the master own everything in this world. She knows that once she belong to this master and work with him and trust him, and the master love him and she love the master, 2 pennies mean nothing for her. And this is the only thing she has. And she bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, this is for you. This really touched Jesus' heart. This really moved Jesus' heart, saying that, wow, this is someone, here is someone really love God, really trust in God. You see, quite often as Christian, our mind, our thinking, we don't operate that way. We calculate how much we have. And then when we are satisfied with what we have, then we will think about if we have enough, if we have left over to offer to God. That is our normal, you know, mindset, how we operate, how we think about offering, how we think about how we show our love to God. But this is powerful, this widow. If I put myself into her position, I don't think I can do that. Even at some point, I consider myself, you know, sacrifice some for the Lord. But I don't think I can sacrifice the only $2 in my pocket to the Lord and don't worry about my next meal. I don't have that kind of faith. This widow really showed me and teach me a lot of good lessons. To be a real rich person, that means trust in the Lord. Even you gave up the only thing you have to live on, and you can trust Him. You can trust Him. So, brothers and sisters, what can we do to impress God? Not just for the sake of impress, but for the sake that we love Him, that we love Him wholeheartedly. So during the time of economic, you know, turbulent or tsunamis, what can we do? Brothers and sisters, let us think about how can you and I be the widow, poor widow. Not considering we are poor, but considering privilege to be part of God's ministry, to express our love to God in whatever way we can. Not worry about tomorrow, but trust God, because we know that He promised a lot in the Bible. So in my series, I will list 25 different kind of promises in a time of economy, tsunami. This morning I have 5 here. And last week I had 5. For the Chinese side, you will see it's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But for the English side, actually the same verses. I list 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You can take the bulletin and read the 25 promises from God, you know, when I've done with my 5 preaching. So I would like to have 5 from our congregation to read us the 5 promises. I'm not going to explain a lot, but I think the verses itself is clear enough. The first one, to give you peace, Philippians 4:6-7. Thank you. Do not be anxious. Is it easy? Do not be anxious. Not to be anxious now. It's not easy. My brother and I, we are very close. He is so anxious. He is not anxious about salary, money. But his house is not too far from the Australian wild bush fire. I wrote him in the past, whenever I wrote him, I emailed him or whatever, he would reply immediately. And I didn't hear from him for weeks already. I don't know. I asked him, how far is your house from the fire? I didn't get answer. He only sent out an email saying that it's a disaster. That part of war, we have stayed there for 2 years. We know how dry it is. It's exactly like California, you know, on the mountain, on the eastern side of the mountain. It's terrible when the bushfire starts. Do not be anxious. We have a brother came in my office this morning and said, Pastor, please pray for me. He said, I already gave a wrong number and they cut off my social security pay or something. unemployment pay. He was so anxious. I said, come on, sit down, let's pray. So anxious. We have so many people facing the situation like we may need to cut hours. We may need to do something just in case. It's anxious. But the Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God to give you peace. This is God's promise, to give you peace. We don't know how things will turn out, but the promise of God stands. Remember, God cares for you. Do not be anxious. And the second, to give real treasure. Matthew 6, 19 to 21, please. Thank you. Where do you store your money? In your investment, land, house, cars, something else? In Africa, we don't have a good service to get salary. So whenever we travel to the capital city, we will take like $2 million with us. Not $2 million. Okay, 2 million CFA, African money. That's not a lot. And then we need to find a place to store it because we don't want people to see. One time, a Switzerland missionary came by our house and they stay, you know, he and his wife, they are going to stay at our house for a couple of days. And he told me that he brought a lot of money. We say, where did you put your money? He say, in the car, under the driver, the carpet, you know, put the money, a few millions under it. So we were talking during the dinner time, and it was so funny because he locked the car, but he didn't roll out the window. So the next morning when we went out, he said, you know, money is in the car, it's safe. But when he walked through the, you know, toward his car, he screamed. We thought, what happened? He said, I didn't roll out my window. So he was so anxious. He dig into the car. Luckily, the money is still there. Where do we store our money? There is nothing safe in this world. So the African told them a secret. You know, dig a hole in your bedroom and put the money in there and cover it. Because everywhere is sand, so it's so easy to dig. So after that, you don't see anywhere people put money. And one day, the missionary left for home for a few months. And after a few hours, he came back running. I said, what happened? He said, I forgot to bring my money. So he take down the money and bring the money, and they left. Is there anywhere safe? Anywhere safe? During the before the Second War or First World War, is it Second World War? You know, the Germany Deutsch is, you know, it was $1 to four mark, and then up to 1 point the money devalued until $1 to 4.2 million. Where are you going to save your money, store your money? The country Nigeria, we were in Nigeria at one point, one period of time, $1 equal to ₦1. That's Nigerian money. And when we were there and Job and David and Ruth were there schooling, it was $1 close to ₦100. Where are you going to store your money? The best place is, you know, just store your money in heaven, because there is no rust, no more. Nothing will destroy it. No thieves will break in and steal in. Remember, as Christian, where our treasure is, then there our hearts will be. So let's consider, how are we going to, you know, invest our money? The third promise, to grow your faith. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Thank you. Because you know that the testing of your faith, in time of difficulty, this is a testing of our faith. And the Bible say that if we trust the Lord, you know, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. That is, our faith grow in mature and complete, and you know, that is something that we are looking for. In our own Christian life, we are looking for, you know, the our faith will grow, that will please our Lord. And then Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 to 13, to give strength, whatever the financial situation. Yeah. Are you willing to consider these few verses, seriously? That is so difficult. It's easy to be rich, you know, to be well fed, to live in plenty. It's easy, much easier. I didn't realize it was so difficult. Even I have some kind of, you know, mindset preparation. The time I landed in Urumqi in the Xinjiang, northwest of China, I was prepared for the hot weather. So the taxi driver said, "Whoa, it's really hot." I said, "How hot?" He said, 100 degrees. I said, "Just nice for me." And he said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Well, you know, many places, but I have been in Sahara Desert." The last day after the training, I had overnight in Urumqi again, and they put me into a very, very harsh living environment. The house owner was playing video game whole night. No window open, no fans on, nothing on. Beside the video game, no electricity on. I don't know this person, and he said that you sleep there. I don't find any pillow. I only find the bed without mattress, without anything, just wood. And he was sweating. It was so difficult for me. I couldn't sleep. And finally, I fall asleep and almost missed the flight, because the flight is in the early morning. I feel like, oh, this is really tough. Really tough. Brothers and sisters, when Paul said that I have learned the secret of being content, I think the poor widow, she learned it also. Being content. Only 2 copper coins left, and she brought it to the church and gave to God. This is a very powerful, you know, example. Finally, to meet all your needs, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19.
And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus.
Thank you. Do you believe in God's promise? If so, this verse is so straightforward. And my God will meet all your needs. What are your needs? What are my needs? He will meet all your needs. This is his promise. According to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So, brother and sister, during this time of difficulty, can we learn not to worry, but to hold on to God's promises? Invest what we need to invest, you know, and make our investment worthy eternally. This is important. This is what we need to learn in time of trials and difficulties, because this is the time God wants to see us trust him, obey him, and follow Jesus' step. That Jesus came to this world, became poor, in order that you and me can become rich. This is his example. As Christian, the only thing we need to do is follow him. When you take Christ away from Christian, I say this more than once already, the only thing left is I am nothing. Don't take Christ away from our life. Otherwise, we are not worthy to live in this world. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for showing us the example of the war or the poor widow, how she feel about you, how she trusts in you, how she expressed her love and worship and trust through her offering, that she gave all that she is living on to you, and trust that our God will take care of her. We just want to thank you because Jesus saw it, and Jesus wants to make it public and let everybody follow this good example. And that's where we are. We hear it, we heard it, and we want to follow this good example. May God help us so that we can be a rich Christian eternally. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.